Good morning, everyone. Welcome, everyone here, everyone downstairs, everyone at home. It looks like the fog has lifted, the sun is shining, and the heavens are open, and the presence of the Lord is in this house today. So, amen. Welcome to our visitors. We're so thankful to have you. So, welcome. We have a couple announcements that I just want to go over with you today. The flowers on the altar today were given by Dawn Johnson in memory of her brother Brad, who passed away earlier this week. There also is, maybe you saw the email, that we have a family in town that is in need of a little help with Christmas this year. So we do have a sign-up sheet that's over in the wing on the table. If you are able to help, to please sign up for one of those kids, and let's bless this family. Today, after this service, about 11:30, we're going to have our quarterly meeting that's going to take place, and to also mark your calendars for our annual meeting that will take place on January 24th. So this, unfortunately, won't be our big potluck like we usually have every year, but it's still an important meeting that we need to gather for and look forward to 2020. So that will be an exciting relief. 2021, see? Okay, there we go. We're going to repeat 2020 and just do it all different this year. So 2021, we'll celebrate 2021. So also, if you're on a board or a commission, your annual report needs to be submitted to the church office by January 2nd. Does anybody else have any announcements they'd like to share? Okay, then let's join together and worship the Lord.
These candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom, blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing.
Power and love as we sing home.
Would you pray with me? Oh, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. We just come full of thanksgiving, Father, for the great gift that you have given us in the birth of our Savior. As we celebrate, Lord, you just fill us with your joy, your strength, your peace, your love, Lord. Your presence is here among your people, and you delight in dwelling with us. And as we sing praises to you, Lord, we open up our hearts. We give all that we are to you, Lord. We give it to you as a sign of our worship and thanksgiving. And we give it, Lord, because you have so abundantly blessed all of us. And we want to worship you. We want to take your giftings and your talents. We want you to multiply them and spread them out into this world, Lord, so that your glory will fill this earth. So, Father, we just lay it down to you. We lay it down and say, Lord, come. Come and dwell among your people. Come into this place. Receive our worship and our love and our adoration, and be glorified and exalted by your people. And as we join together to praise you, Lord, let the prayer our Savior taught us be a sign of our love and worship to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading is from Psalm chapter 126, found on page 499 in your pew Bible. It's the harvest of joy, one of the songs of ascent. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. It was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. For the Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of John. Chapter 1. We're going to do verses 8 through 6 and then jump ahead to 19 through 28, and that can be found in your pew Bible on page 862. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. kids? Two. See, I was ready for the... Ah! Oh, hi. Okay. Hold on. I'm going by it. Don't want to step on any hands. All right. How about waiting? Who likes to wait? You like to wait? Yeah, I bet, honey. Well, when my nephew was sent home from school because of a fever, of course, his mother yanked him right up there to get the COVID test, and then we had to wait. They neglected to tell me it was going to be 3 to 5 days. I thought we'd know by the next day. No news. Well, I had to get ready for Sunday school here. Okay, don't maybe the next day. When they finally told me, I said, you gotta be kidding me. So my niece, who of course works in the healthcare stuff, the RN and the charge nurse at the ER, Charlotte, says, AJ, please, it takes at least 5 days. There's a lot of people testing. Said, okay, well, we'll wait. Not joyfully, however, at the time. So, lo and behold, it wasn't until Monday morning that we find out that he was negative. So, off he goes to school, lickety-split. So, but how about in all that time? Joy. You know, we have the Advent candles for love, joy, peace, patience. Well, sorry, going into the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, starts off that way, though. Love, joy, peace, hope, and sometimes there's faith in there, too. Depends on where you are and all that. However, do you know that while we're waiting to celebrate Christmas, we have all of these things. Did you ever think about that? We still have the love of God. We have the joy of Jesus. We have faith in God. Why, am I keeping you up, honey? So anyway, so that is what this season is, joy. So this, for, I found my money counting thingy. Works great for papers. Let me just tell you. Awesome. Okay, big kids. Gonna pass? I saw you grabbing something. Want one?
I have two.
You do? Good. Have fun. Okay. Share. Okay, so let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your joy, because sometimes in life, we forget to have any. So we just thank you, Lord, that you're the one that gives it to us. Excuse me. So we just thank you, Lord, for your joy, your love, your patience. Oh, there I go again. But anyway, Lord, you know where I'm going. So I thank you so much for these kids. May we all have a blessed day waiting for to celebrate your coming. In your name, amen.
I'll take a moment to lift up to the Lord our prayers, our joys, our concerns. Would you please bow in prayer with me? Good morning, Father. We join here this morning waiting your coming. We join together this morning living in a world that is just as terrifying as it is wonderful. We need Jesus as much today as in the times, in the old times. Many are sowing tears, many are struggling, many are scared, and many of us are worried. Wipe our tears away, replenish our lands, fill our hearts with a new enthusiasm for life, living as we restore our faith in you and our faith in each other. We wait filled with hope, knowing your light will shine in through the darkness. We wait with joy, rejoicing in the expectation of your birth. Lord, we wait. Come soon and fill us with your life. We pause this day to lift up to you our family in need of prayers. Father, watch over our brother Tom as he joins us here this morning after his surgery. We continue to lift up our neighbor Steve Jones, recovering from his bout with pneumonia and COVID-19. We lift up John Bucklevich for healing and his recent injury to his hand. We lift up Lisa Bucknacki and her husband Rob in their battle with COVID-19. We lift up to you Liz Montambo in her unknown chest problems and her continued trips to the ER, Father. Be with her and her family as they deal with this. We lift up Gary Merrill's son Josh and his daughter Katie, who are both dealing with seizures, his friend Sam dealing with depression, and his friend Mr. Sony in the hospital with COVID. We lift up Dawn Johnson and her loss of her brother Brad. We lift up to you our church, our leaders, and our members. And we ask for your guidance and a clear understanding of your will for us. We ask for your protection from COVID-19 as the virus seems to be strengthening around us and our country again. And we lift up to you those in need, struggling to make it through the year. We have many in need of prayers. We have our elderly, and we have those of us around us who are hurting. Urban Rogine, Chris Friedland and Dawn Johnson downstairs, Ed Nelson and Grace Dayton, Peter Bucklevich and Carol Stratton, George and Karen, Becky Nelson, Art and Claire. Continued prayers for Robert Morton, Millie Cunningham, Chip Gill, and Karen O'Connor. Father, we know you are with each of them. You know their hurts, their problems, their needs, and their hopes, just as you know ours here. May you grant us in our prayers your grace, your mercy, and your peace. Lord of love and light, shine through the darkness. Bring us hope. Open our hearts for the journey, our eyes for the light, our spirits for the peace which you bring. We offer this prayer in the name of the one who is coming into the world, bringing your hope, love, and peace, and your joy. Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Wonderful singing. One of my favorite childhood films, usually in the springtime, you know, toward Easter, was Ben-Hur. It came out in 1959. I wasn't born yet, but when I was a young kid, it was great. Charlton Heston. Thumbs up from Dave. Yes, it was really good. It was based on an American novel out of, at the late end of the 19th century, Ben-Hur, A Tale of Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful novel. But I want to tell you about one scene, but first, when I was a kid, what amazed me in the story, and I was thinking about it, you know, a couple years ago, what was that scene where, you know, it was a leprous colony in the caves, and it was the time of Christ's death, and right when the darkness and Christ died on the cross, there's a beautiful scene where the lepers that had been pushed out of the town and they were unclean, they were in the caves, that just miraculously they were all healed in an instant because Jesus had died on the cross. And I always remember that. But I want to tell you about another scene in the movie now. Ben-Hur had been imprisoned by the Romans. He was taken a prisoner, and they were going to put him on a ship where he had to row, you know, chained and keep rowing. But en route to that, he was tired, he was thirsty, he dropped to his knees, exhausted, and he cried out, God, help me! And if you've seen it, you know that immediately Jesus shows up. You don't see his face, just his back of his head, and he gives him a drink of water. And right at that, the Roman soldier in charge yelled at Jesus, leave him, leave that man alone, and he raises his whip. And then Jesus turns to look at him. And he's pretty much undone. He's overwhelmed. He's immobilized. He's in awe as he looks in the face of Jesus. He lowered his whip and he turned away. The effect the film wanted to convey is this, is that an encounter with Jesus Christ, you know, meeting him to face to face in the true reality of who Jesus is and what he offers, it will leave us in awe. It will overwhelm us, and it will soften even the hardest heart. Maybe you've had that experience. We all need that experience even here this morning. And John begins his gospel by stunning us with his description of Jesus Christ. And Lisa read a little bit of that in John's prologue. He never mentions Jesus by name until verse 17. We didn't read that part. But it becomes clear right away that he's talking about Jesus. Rather than beginning with the story of his birth, that's not in John's gospel. At 1:1, it confronts us with the deity, the majesty of Jesus Christ, saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John wants us to stand in awe of Jesus, who is the Word of God, the Word who became flesh, the Word who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who reveals God to us. And he is the one who is here in our midst today. By the Spirit, his presence, may we feel his glory and know that he is here in our midst today. Do we stand in awe of Jesus, or do we not really know him? To know him is to be in awe of who he is and what he provides. Have we adopted the fullness of Christ, the fullness of his gospel? Jesus wants to come to each and every one of us as true light. He will penetrate any darkness that has overcome, that is challenging us in our world, in our life right now, even today. He will come in like the rising sun in all its glory as it breaches the horizon or comes up over a hill or over a tree line. Even greater and stronger is Jesus, the true light. So let us ask Jesus this morning to reveal himself to us. Show me. Show me. Give me dreams and visions right now. Show me yourself. And as Gary had prayed earlier, there are too many who have sown with tears, you know, in these days. Maybe it's a crisis, a loss, or this pandemic lockdown. The lockdown is worse than the disease, I think. You know, many would say that. And the implications. But whatever it is, maybe you've sown with tears. You're working so hard, you're seeing little in return, you're exhausted. Well, the promise is that with Jesus, we will reap with songs of joy, with shouts of joy. God is about doing the miraculous. When the time is right and hearts are ready, he comes, he acts. When he delivered the children of Israel from Babylonian captivity in the 6th century B.C., and that's what Psalm 126 is all about, that was read today. And the psalm says that they were like those who dreamed. And the sense there is it's prophetic dreams and visions. They were given something from God even before it happened. His strategies were revealed to them. His ways, his sovereignty as a deliverer and a judge. The prophetic dreams came true. And that is why it says their mouths were filled with laughter, their tongues with songs of joy. We've been released. We've been delivered. We are free from our captors. And how about the season of Hanukkah? Tonight, the fourth candle of Hanukkah will be lit. Maybe you have a menorah. I have a little one in my office. Maybe you do at home and you follow along. There's so much about Jesus symbolically and in the midst of all that. And even in John's gospel, I think it's chapter 10, it says it was winter and it was the feast of dedication. And that's Hanukkah. But tonight the fourth candle will be lit, commemorating the 2nd century B.C. rededication of the temple. And it was the miraculous supply of oil that lasted not one day. There was only enough oil for one day, but they needed it to burn for 8 days to cleanse the temple. But it burned for 8. And it did cleanse the temple. God's holy fire. You see, the Syrians had come in, and a king, a pagan king that didn't believe in one and only God. He came in, he invaded the city, he desecrated the temple. That's why they had to cleanse it, rededicate it. Judaism was outlawed for a time. You know, it's kind of like what we hear, you will not go to church, you will not worship. You need to be on lockdown, you cannot worship. That's how it was. But they were fighting for their God. They were fighting for morality, for life, and for freedom to worship. They believed God was able. He heard their cry for mercy, and he delivered them. So Hanukkah, a time of adversity, when God is present, and Jesus is alive and real. And we pray for God to keep shining his light upon this country, don't we? The evil one, there is a darkness trying to overcome the light of truth and change the direction of this country, to sever it from the founding fathers' intentions and biblical standards and freedoms and peace. We're not to have any fear or any panic. God is confirming our country's future by giving his strategies, his dreams and visions through his prophets the last 8 months. There is clarity about the future. God is never late. Keep watching. Keep waiting. We will be amazed, and the remnant church will shout for joy. It is into this kind of darkness and despair that John the Baptist arrives on the scene. A new day had dawned, and John was confronted immediately. You know, God was doing something new. For 400 years, the people of Israel had not heard anything from God. No prophet spoke for God. It was a dark time. It was a silent time. And then John came on the scene. And what happens when this kind of light begins to shine, or truth begins to come? Well, there's confrontation. He was confronted immediately. It was like a courtroom scene. It could have easily been that. But in verse 6, it says that John is sent by God. Being sent by God, there's nothing that's going to change the direction of where things are going. When God puts his anointing on someone or something, it's not going to change. Even though John was beheaded, he fulfilled his purpose for that time. He was sent by God. He was God's prophet to bear witness to the light, Jesus Christ. And saying it again in verse 8, I am not the light, but came to bear witness to the light, that all might believe in Jesus. And that's when the religious leaders, they ask, well, who are you? Who are you? And here is when John the Baptist, it's like he's in a courtroom. He has to be sworn in, put his hand on the Bible, you know, or sign an affidavit or take an oath. It says in verse 20, he confessed, did not deny the truth. I am not the Christ. You know, he knows who he's not. Verse 21, are you Elijah? No, I'm not. Are you the prophet? No. They keep pressing, saying, we have to go back to our rulers. You know, they're blaming their interrogation on someone else, right? So what do you have to say about yourself is where it ends at verse 22. We know from verse 7 and 19 that John is a witness, martyria, like our word martyr, who testifies, martyrio, like the word martyr, to testify to the good news of Jesus Christ. And these words have their origin in a legal context. Martyria, martyrio. But it implies a public testimony to something that is absolutely true. It's the absolute truth. We know that when a witness testifies to something, he or she stakes his life on it. A false witness commits perjury, a capital offense. And again, our English word martyr, a witness who suffers the ultimate consequence when his or her public testimony is deemed false. But still, we are courageous. Courageous enough to believe that the gospel is true. And it must be proclaimed boldly and publicly and confidently. The trick is to bear witness to this truth with humility, like John. He was sent by God. He had a message from God. He was bold, but he was humble. He knew who he was and who he was not. And humility for John meant that he was directing people away from himself and toward another, toward Jesus. But notice how people try to change that. They try not to let him do that. They say, no, who are you? What do you say about yourself? In verse 22. That's the one thing that has not changed. When you begin to lift up the name of Jesus and talk about all that Jesus has done for you, people want to change the subject. They want you to talk about yourself instead. Hey, we have a testimony, but we need to talk about Jesus. We need to lift him up. Mark Allen Powell said this, the testimony of Jesus himself is more powerful. His words are the word of God, his actions an incarnation of that word, putting us all on trial with public testimony. And the light of God's love and the darkest parts of humanity come together. And there need be no squabbling over what happens when darkness and the light of Jesus Christ coexist. The truth of what happens becomes public and certain. Light overcomes the darkness. Amen to that. But what does John say humbly about himself? He says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord. They ask, well, why then are you baptizing if you're not Messiah? Oh, I baptize with water, but among you stands one that you don't even know. He's right here in your midst. He's right among you, and you don't know him. And it is he who comes after me, whose sandal I am not worthy to even untie. You know, that role of a servant that would untie the sandals, the straps. I'm not even worthy to do that. And here he's a prophet sent by God. He knew his place. But he's a voice, or the voice, literally means a tool, instrument, pointing to another coming on the horizon. There's one coming. He's actually in your midst. He's worthy to know. You do not know him. The promise on the horizon is not a religion, but it's a person. The person of Jesus Christ. The one that stands among them. They don't know. John's message was a proclamation that the dawn of the messianic era was at hand, and here he is, and there's no waiting. Just as Jesus is here this morning, here in our midst, and there's no waiting. There's no waiting. Come with your glory, Lord Jesus. Come with your glory now. What else do we know about Jesus, the one to know and proclaim? Well, verse 1:4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. John is saying that God revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the author of life, should point all people to him. A dual meaning. In him was life, pointing back to creation. We know that he was there in the beginning. He was with God and was God. But also to the future, our salvation. He's the light of all people. And Jesus is the only source of true light in a spiritually dark world. He's our only answer. He's the only place to go. He's the only one that can shed light in the darkness of the world. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Two meanings there. In your own Bible, it might say comprehend it. The darkness couldn't comprehend the light or grasp it. We know that Jesus came to his own people, and they did not believe. They did not understand. They did not know. They rejected him. In chapter 3, 19 and 20, it says that some love the darkness. If they knew who Jesus was, they would flee from the darkness. But they love the darkness, for their deeds are evil. So to comprehend or grasp. But the second meaning means overcome. The darkness shall not overcome the light. The darkness shall not take hold of the light. The darkness will never master the light. The darkness will never overpower Jesus Christ. There was and still is a conflict between Jesus Christ, his church, and darkness, right? There's always a conflict. When Jesus came into the world and confronted the powers of darkness, he was crucified, buried, but then he arose and he conquered sin, death, and the devil. Darkness did not win. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And his salvation, those who believe, it conquers the spiritual darkness that we have in our hearts and our lives. As we believe, there's no, you know, his light overcomes any darkness in our hearts. We are healed. We are delivered for all who trust him. In John 1:9, it says, he was and is the true light that coming into the world enlightens everyone. The genuine and ultimate self-disclosure of God. And we know the exposure that light brings is very real. Did you ever have that first experience, I don't know, some years ago, one morning the light was streaming in, you know, from the east, it was the early light, and it was coming right into the kitchen. And I thought, what a mess. There's like crumbs everywhere. Look at the windows, they're streaked everywhere. And Lisa and I we're clean freaks, but the light had illuminated. You ever see that? It's like, man, turn the lights off. But you can't turn the light off. And of course, that's always the best time to clean, right? It works well. Well, the Greek verb to shed light upon or to make visible, it's not so much about the inner illumination, but it is about the objective revelation of light that came into the world in Jesus Christ through the incarnation, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So to sum this up, and then we want to respond, we want to embrace the light. We want to embrace Jesus Christ, who is here this morning with us, and he knows everything about us, and his light is shining upon us. But first, the light shines on everything. Like that morning light coming in. The light of Christ, it exposes sin, corruption, evil plots, evil strategies. The second thing is that light divides. Some hate the light and flee like cockroaches to hide. You know, sometimes you can hear the cockroaches. We don't have cockroaches in our house. Back in college, I lived in a fraternity, and I did a lot of dishes. And you turn on the lights, and you can hear the scatter. It's like, oh, boy. But light divides. You know, yet there are those who welcome the light. There are even those in our world now that world leaders in our government, on both sides, nonpartisan, that are corrupt as they come. And world leaders, and you know what? As God's light begins to shine upon them, I pray that they will welcome the light. They will welcome and receive Jesus Christ. There are those who receive the light, because they know it's for their own healing and mercy and deliverance. And we're going to see many come to the light in these days ahead. We need to embrace the light. Will you embrace the light of Jesus Christ this morning, believing in him and his sacrifice for you? Or believe in a new and fuller fashion that his power would be released inside of you? Have you invited his light in to shine upon our minds and our hearts, to encourage us, to shine upon our way of life and our future, our broken places? You know, Jesus is here now to minister to us all, to minister to you. His love is pouring out upon you right now. His face is turned towards you. His light shining upon you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And I encourage you to welcome his presence, to worship him now. Pray in the Spirit. Give him all your concerns and worries and fears. He is here now. Ask him to expose the lies you've been believing about yourself. That's from the devil. God loves you and wants to encourage you as his beloved child. Do not listen to the voices. We pray a binding of those voices in Jesus' name. Our God can remake us. He is awakening us to the fullness of his revelation in Jesus Christ. And one last area, you may be battling the darkness daily, depression. And that's a real battle. One out of four 18 to 24-year-olds the last 8 months has thought about suicide, and some have given into that, and other age groups too. Know that the light of Christ is stronger than any darkness you might be experiencing now, and he is here now, and he will release you now. His light is shining upon you. Come, Lord Jesus, come with your power now. Receive him. Be set free. His power is greater than any darkness we could be facing in this world or in our life right now. May that power of darkness over your mind or heart be broken right now in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Jesus, we welcome and embrace you and your light right now, your power. You're shining upon each and every one into hearts and minds. You are healing. You are delivering. We know that you are willing to heal. Oh, Lord, are you willing to fully deliver today? We believe, we trust, we surrender, we worship you. We give our burdens to you. In your light, in you, Jesus, we are set free. Amen.
Our God is a good, good, good Father. Too many times we want to blame him for the very messes that are in this world. But let us thank God for all that he's given to us. As we come forward to leave our offerings, what our heart has told us to do. Love each and every one. Remember whose we are, whether we give online, whether we walk forward and put it in the tray, whether we mail it in, it doesn't matter. How do we love our Lord but to worship and to bring into his kingdom that which he's given us to give back? So as we do that, just be prepared. We're going to be singing, "What Child Is This?" So thank you. Amen.
Be sure to stay around and visit with one another. The Lord is present. Linger here. Linger at the altar. Pray with one another. But may the Lord bless you and keep you right now. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace now. Amen.